The Greens. After a number of years in government, now they face the election again. We know how that went last time they went into government. But what is in their manifesto and how much chance do they have of holding on to seats across the country? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. Don't forget to subscribe and to share this episode far and wide. We've got quite a few election ones coming over the next few weeks as we count down to November 29th and to polling day. We are running through the different manifestos of the parties and going into them in quite a bit of detail. And today we are doing the Greens. And after I've gone through the manifesto, I'll also give you a bit of an overview of where I think they are heading into this campaign. What are the key battlegrounds for them and how are they going to do overall? I get so many different opinions on this. You probably have your own. A lot of people think the Greens are gone. They're going to be wiped out. They're going to be off the face of the planet. I'm not one of those people, but it is difficult for them. So first, let's start with the campaign launch. They did it in Dublin. They had their manifesto. Had this sort of interesting, I don't know, was it saving paper or saving trees or what, but this sort of smaller booklet-sized manifesto, almost like a return to government, a Green Party 2.0. And the question was put to them at the launch by one very clever journalist who said, you know, there is a general thought in film that the sequel is always worse than the original. So why should people believe that a sequel of the Green Party would be any better than what they've seen over the last little while? And here's what the deputy leader, Roisin Garvey, had to say.
I was just going to say, I think Paul Mescal is going to be a better sequel to Gladiator, so maybe you might end up eating your words there. Also, in fact, it's more important than ever that we have a sequel for the Green Party because, you know, as I said, the climate change debate is over. So it's not that we want a sequel, we need a sequel.
Never stuck for words, Roisin Garvey, in fairness to her. So the manifesto, what did it have in it? Well, as you would expect, transport a very big focus. A 10 billion euro plan to supercharge public transport funded by 7 billion euro in the Apple tax money and then 3 billion euro from elsewhere. And that includes things like the metro, like bus connects, Dart Plus, Lewis extension, but also more light rail in Cork and in Galway, the Glewis that's been talked about, the reopening of the railway line from Wexford to Waterford and upgrading of all existing rail lines in Limerick and Kilkenny, cuts to public transport ticket prices, including retaining the 20% cut for adults and 60% cuts for younger people, and then a climate ticket, this thing to replace the tax saver ticket that exists at the moment for people taking public transport. This is a sort of an annual ticket you can get if you're constantly using it. On climate action, a 1.2 billion euro public buildings retrofitting fund, 200,000 homes being outfitted for free with solar panels, low income homes, 200 million euro for energy efficiency measures for businesses as well, 100 million to invest in offshore wind and micro generation, that's kind of small scale energy sources, and the development of a nature restoration plan for the Republic of Ireland in line with the EU one. On housing, 50 to 53,000 new homes a year, including 15,000 affordable homes and 12,000 social. The new homes target also includes the renovation of at least 4,000 vacant and derelict buildings every year, pretty similar to other parties, although they set a high target there. They also want to create, I thought this was an interesting one, a new Minister of State for regional cities. So a Minister of State for Waterford, Limerick, Cork and Galway. And when I asked, well, like, what's the difference from this new mayor that has just been elected in Limerick and that the other cities didn't want? It didn't really get an answer. So I'm not really sure what it would do. Obviously, it would put more of a focus on the regional cities. And some of their TDs were saying to me, well, look, Galway, Waterford, prime areas for development. And we need a hub, really, to offset Dublin. All of the growth in Ireland is the Mideast, it's Dublin, it's the commuter belt, it's choking up. Let's put more money and more focus out there. So good in theory. I'm not 100% sure how much a Minister of State actually helps that. They also want to help make the help to buy scheme available to renters who want to purchase their home from their landlord, but they also want some changes to it in regards to the caps there as well. Basically overhauling the Help to Buy scheme by introducing price caps on eligible homes depending on where in the country people are buying a property. At the moment it's €500,000 across the country. They want to make that more regionally focused. When it gets to the economy then, rates rebate for businesses, energy efficiency grants and use some of the proposed 3 billion euro climate and nature fund to help businesses switch from fossil fuels to using heat pumps, zero emission gas, this sort of thing. Interesting as well, one that might be popular, they have promised to introduce a citizens' assembly to examine the introduction of a 4-day working week. Something a lot of people could get on board with, I think, far from a 4-day we are at the moment during the election campaign. When it comes to welfare, they want a means testing agency to allow for a better targeting of grants and social assistance payments, increase social welfare in line with wage and price inflation, so link it to the CPI, I presume there, introduce a new anti-child poverty payment and introduce a home carers tax credit increase the home carers tax credit rather to 4,000 euro, plus introducing a new 50 euro weekly cost of disability payment. And then one for parents, they're also on with the reduced cost of childcare thing that a lot of the parties are, max of 200 euro per child per month. They also want to extend maternity, paternity and parents leave to provide 52 weeks leave in the first year of a child's life, and to increase maternity, paternity and parents benefit by 40 euro a week. When it comes to health, the Greens are saying expand the GP visit card to children aged 8 to 10, enhance access to abortion care and remove the obligatory 3-day waiting period there, establish a digital prescriptions system, no more this writing notes crack, legislate for paid leave for pregnancy loss in all its forms up to 20 days and introduce free biannual gynecological appointments for women aged 16 to 40. Childcare, as I mentioned, increase the pay and working conditions for early year professionals, cap it at 200 euro per child per month, and introduce a new single national fee structure for public and private providers, as well as putting it on a legal footing that people have a right for each child to be able to receive 2 years of early years education for free. When it comes to immigration, interesting one, obviously, this is Roger O'Gorman, the Green Party leader's bailiwick, establish a new asylum and integration agency to oversee asylum requests, accommodation and integration supports, and implement a comprehensive accommodation strategy to support communities to welcome people seeking asylum. So more engagement and more support for the communities where, you know, an asylum centre is taking over an old hotel or some other old resource that could otherwise be used. Some of the other things, increase the number of Gardaí to 15,000, immediately enact the Occupied Territories Bill, that thing that couldn't get done by the last government, last minute, remember that? And then some interesting ones when it comes to politics. So lower the voting age to 16. The cynic in me would say, I wonder, is that to take advantage of climate conscious younger voters? Although in the States, younger voters were far from climate conscious. So there you go. Expand the 40% female gender quota, so this one that applies to the elections at the moment, to cabinet appointments and Oireachtas committee chairs. Now, there are a few female Oireachtas committee chairs. I actually don't know what the balance is. The cabinet is not gender balanced at all. Now, the Green Party members on it are gender balanced, in fairness to them. So introducing a 40% cap would be an interesting one. I just wonder about it a bit, like, is there a sense that you should be putting your best people in no matter who they are, male or female, rather than trying to make the numbers work? Maybe it has worked. We're going to be doing a podcast about the women running for the election, about this gender quota and whether or not it has worked. The ultimate proof of the pudding, of course, will be after the election. So interesting one you can toss back and forward and keep an eye out in your Let Me Explain feed for a few more thoughts on that. Limit political posters to specific areas of towns and villages to help cut down on waste. I don't actually like this one. I understand why the Greens would be for it. I understand why a lot of people listening would actually be for it, because a lot of people don't like the posters and you do see them around for a long time after, be it the Euros or whatever, when some people just don't take them down or they forget about a lamppost or they haven't tracked them properly or whatever. I'm a nerd, I'm a political nerd, so I really like knowing it's election time and people knowing it's election time and that you can see them around the place. And also there is scientific evidence to say that not having posters acts as a barrier to new candidates getting in, candidates you might not know otherwise. You see their face up on a poster, you go, I wonder who that guy is, and you maybe put a bit of research in or might give them a higher preference vote, and it tends to favour incumbency. So I can see the environmental aspect and all that sort of stuff, it's one of their commitments, but I'm not so sure on that particular one, just as a personal point of view. So that's the manifesto, they're the promises that the Greens are talking about. There's another one in there I didn't mention about a tax on business class flights, for example, that they think could bring in 100 million euro a year, and all the climate stuff and all that that you would expect from the Greens. But they're also expanding outside of that and trying to talk about other issues that people might be affected by. And the reason is they need to expand their voter base, to be honest, because it could be difficult for them at this election. Their vote fell quite significantly. They lost a lot of councillors in the local elections. Some areas, in particularly around Dublin, where they held and even topped the poll in other areas like that. So how are they going to do? A lot of people have them at a wipeout or have them close to a wipeout. I don't think that'll be the case. I have them coming back with 5, maybe 6 TDs. I think that's that would be an okay result for them and could put them in the balance of power, depending on the makeup of the next government. It's very difficult outside of Dublin. There's just no getting away from that. I think Brian Leddon in Limerick City, very vulnerable. Roisin Garvey, like, that fourth Clare seat is open. Uphill battle for her to take it, though, absolutely. Pauline O'Reilly in Galway West, who's running, has an uphill battle too. Carlo Kilkenny is an interesting one. Ivan does not have Malcolm Noonan retaining his seat as the junior minister. I think he might, because of the weakness of the Sinn Féin candidates there and there being that fifth seat open. I just think that he could well sneak in there. But that's kind of where the good news for them ends. Wicklow, a big battle for Stephen Matthews to get into that fourth seat, with Fine Gael gunning for a second, Stephen Donnelly hoping to go on, and the constituency falling from 5 to 4 seats. So I think it's very difficult outside of Dublin to see them holding or even making any gains. Not 100% impossible, but difficult. And if we go through the Dublin constituencies then for the Greens, Joe O'Brien up in Fingal, really shafted by the redraw. He might have had an outside shot on a 5-seater, very little chance in the 3-seater he now finds himself in Fingal West. That's very difficult. They didn't have one in Dublin Bay North last time around. I think it was the only or one of the only Dublin constituencies, along with Dublin North West, that they didn't win a TD in. They don't have any chance in either of those. Dublin West, Roger O'Gorman's own constituency, he's helped by an extra seat out there, but he will be scrapping for the 4th and 5th seat. I don't think there's too much doubt about that. So I'm not convinced I can see someone who is absolutely going to oust him there, but I wouldn't bet my house on him being returned either. Dublin Bay South, Eamon Ryan retiring. Hazel Chu is a very good campaigner, is a very good candidate, is just in an absolute mare of a constituency. So she absolutely has a chance. But again, I'm not putting the house on it. Dublin South Central is Patrick Costello. Again, he's going to be in a fight, probably helped by the fact that Breed Smith is no longer contesting this particular election, that she won't be going there. He could slot into that particular spot and have someone else take a seat. The Sinn Féin vote, if it is anywhere near what it is last time, forget about it. They'll bring home a second, but I don't think it will be there. I think they'll struggle as well. And he has some very good councillors under him, including the likes of Michael Pidgeon, who will be a TD one day, in my opinion, and who topped the poll in the local election. So it might be a rare case of where the councillor elects the TD there as opposed to a TD electing a councillor. Dublin Midwest, not really any chance. Southwest, very difficult to see Francis Noel Duffy holding on to his seat. But you never know, stranger things have happened. I just don't see it there. Dublin Rathdown, then, an interesting one for them. Catherine Martin, the deputy leader. That's become a harder constituency to call than I had it a little while ago. The more I hear, Fine Gael will take 2 seats there. They'll keep the 2 seats that they have. Neil Richmond and what was Josefa Madigan's seat. Maeve O'Connell coming in, a councillor, the wife of Colin Brophy, but also a very well-established councillor in her own right. She'll probably take a seat. You've then got Catherine Martin. You've got into the mix Michael Fleming, this independent who got 3,700 votes in the locals and runs butcher's shops all across the constituency. You've got Fianna Fáil gunning for a seat as well through Shea Brennan. And then you have Alan Shatter, the independent former Fine Gael. Now, I don't think Shatter will get there. I don't think he'll be in with a chance, but he will certainly have an impact on who does get elected, and he'll mop up a few of the votes. So I think Catherine Martin will be re-elected, but it wouldn't utterly shock me if she lost either. I mean, you could see a scenario where she just gets squeezed out in a difficult area, but the extra seat there helps her too. And then Dun Laoghaire, This is a real bellwether for both Fianna Fáil and the Green Party. It's a real one to watch because there will be two Fine Gael seats there. They have a big vote. They will pick up one. I'm pretty confident in saying that. Richard Boyd Barrett will also hold his seat. I'm confident in saying that. And then you have the sitting TD Cormac Devlin of Fianna Fáil and the sitting junior minister for the Green Party in Oisín Smith. The Greens outpolled Fianna Fáil across Dunleary Rathdown Council. They had 6 seats to 5, I think, after the local elections. Now, Devlin is running on his own this time. He had Mary Hannafin as a running mate last time around. Very, like, I can't call that one. I find it really difficult. Toss a coin up as to which one gets in. But I'm looking to that early on in the counts to see, well, are Fianna Fáil having a decent day in Dublin, or are they going to be scrapping and potentially losing a seat or two? And how strong is that Green vote? Now, the Greens have, and talking to them on the doors, you know, they are saying, look, environmentalism is coming up. I talked to one Green TD who keeps meeting people in their gardens who are sort of like, God, the flowers are still blooming. The grass still needs to be cut. Is this a sign of global warming? All this sort of stuff, that environmentalism might be creeping back into the thoughts there. Equally, I meet other TDs from other parties who say, it's not coming up at all. Don't, like, it's not a factor. So balance that whatever way you like. But the Greens do have the thing of, look, we need your first preferences. We are not getting transfers here anyway the same way we used to. We are not having running mates. We need all your number ones. And look, if we go out, then you can give your number two to your man and get ahead. But it will be a scrap for them. I couldn't call a single Green seat as being 100% safe. At the same time, environmentalism is still a big issue. Climate is still a big issue. You see the stuff in Valencia and in Spain and all that that's happening around the place. You've got Donald Trump in, who's going to just set a torch to the environment in the US and rip up as much as he can. And I could see them picking up that kind of vote where there is still interest, particularly in the urban areas, particularly among younger voters as well. And their argument will be, we drove a hard bargain with this government. We were not easy bedfellows. Look how much that they're punching at us, both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, punching down to try and get us out. They don't want to see us back, but you could put us back and we could keep manners on them. Whereas a Labour or some, you know, tickle your belly independents will go in and just do whatever they like. If you want this government returned, it needs to have the third stool, and that third stool needs to be us. That's the argument they will be putting forward. It'll be interesting to see where it pays off and how much it pays off. So that is my thoughts on the Greens for the moment and their manifesto. As I say, we're going to have more into next week as more of the manifesto launches get underway and we see more detail from the different parties and get into the debates, and keep an eye out for a few other episodes on different topics too. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, but also Calling It, the podcast that I'm doing with Ivan Yates, where we are drilling down into all those constituencies in much more detail than I've just gone into there now, predicting each one, putting our necks on the line for a potential drubbing of our own after this election is over. So thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe.